clear now.
The next one is our fencing contractor. Those have been going, a lot of that was when we put the concession of the park. There was a lot of fencing to go on, a lot of cattle guards, a lot of changing for pastures. And
just initially, you mean?
Yes, that's, you'll see that, a lot of that right in the 2003-04, a lot of different lump sum bids to make the land, you know, where we're at today. After that, in 2003 to 2009, we actually used the county contractor, which was Wilson and Hill. 2009, present is JLC Fencing. So we actually used the contractor that the county, that
Public Works
uses. My other is Dean Robinson. He's my fire consultant. He's got a pretty good job. A pretty busy job, because I rely on him a lot. There's a lot of ground. That's for all three parks. For my fire control, my control burns, making sure my fire equipment is up to date, making sure that they're all operational. I threw all the fire extinguishers from all the parks that have to be signed monthly. That's a part of his duties. All the permits. He keeps me straight. He does. He keeps me straight on my fire permits, my burns. We meet together, but when I forget one, he'll grab me by the ear and say, "Listen, we have to go do this, and we go do that." So, and that's why he's to me is a pretty invaluable person.
Hey, just Burke, on the fencing. Then that used Wilson and Hill were the county contractor, and now the JLC is. Is that like the trucking that we Ashbeck does, or is that something that ever has to be visited, or?
Oh no, we revisit that.
How often?
I think that's a 2-year contract. So.
Like a 2-year deal, and then they
we re-advertise.
Yeah, and then we kind of bid it out, or they bid it out. How much generally, other than going in there and doing a major project, how much generally does the county do in fencing with the contractor?
Well, you know what? We've done with road projects, actually, we've used that fencing contract for probably in the last 5 years, maybe 4 miles of fence, randomly here and there, pieces.
Yeah, like Wilson Lane or something.
Yeah, we just used them, actually, on the corner of Laurel and Wilson.
Yeah.
The park. When we first did that, that was several miles of fence, Jim. But that kind of tapered off.
Yeah, but short of like a Coonsie Lane project, we don't have a whole lot of range fence that we wind up having these guys work on.
We have occasionally, and we had some actually this spring where we actually snow plowed down some fence. A lot of times it's because the fence is too close to the road and sitting in the right way. And, you know, that's kind of the way that is. But this fence was not in the right way. It was clear back the edge of the right way, and we just pushed a bunch of fence back. So we had them come in and go through the fence and stick it all back up, put a post in where they needed to put a post, and fixed it.
I was curious, I've seen guys. Yeah,
we actually use them more than you'd think, though. I mean, it's just, you never know. Gooseberry, when we worked out there, we had some fence there that we needed replaced, and they came in and did that part of it.
We do supplies, we must. Well, I see in the APs steel posts or T-posts.
Oh, yeah, we'll buy posts. We just bought a bunch of wire for $25 or whatever down at State Surplus. Mm-hmm. Park bought some, and then road department bought some. We've got, that's 12-gauge, 2-bar, pretty expensive wire.
Yeah, yeah. How does wire become surplus? I mean, brand new rolls of wire.
Federal government.
Bureau of Land
Management. BLM. I mean, seriously.
Probably.
For $25 a roll, you can't pass it out.
Well, don't let me sidetrack you. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Okay, that was the logging contractors. Yeah, it was Pine Creek, John Britt, 2009, 2012, and 2013 to 2018 was Ted Britt. And those are under contracts for Public Works. So
the way we came to that point was we had some thinning we needed to do. We needed to do it in a professional way. Hood River County has a bunch of forest land, and their forester was really a lot of help, and we talked a lot about how they got their contractor and how they wrote their contract. And so they shared information with us, and we cannibalized some of their stuff, and we started out with Pine Creek Logging for two go-arounds of the contract, and then they did three jobs for us, and then Ted Britt did the last job we did. He got the contract after that. Works really well. Got it. I mean, it just keeps everything as it should be. We pay our timber tax, and we make a few bucks when we do that, if the pulp's worth anything.
Next one is our contract with ODF. And that is for their summer helicopter pad. They do rent, I give that to them for $5 a day for the helipad, which is a nominal fee. It's kind of hard to adjust that. I kind of looked at what a hangar was worth, and we just come up with $5 a day. But I do get them I don't give them any breaks on the full hookups. So they do rent for that, those months, the three full hookups. ODF fire agreement is the next one down. There's three types, teams, type 1, 2, and 3. The rates are there, and those are under SAM contract with it's. What's that stand for? It's mutual agreement to the federal government.
Mutual aid.
Yes, but we are through that also for the parks. And that's, so if United States Forest Service had to come in, that would be the same rates. And those are the actual numbers. I broke that down so that if you get 151, it jumps up to $800 a day. Do some COFA, Central Oregon Fire Academy does some training up there when they can. Last couple of years they have not because of the fire season. Came too early for them. It was planned, and we got the books, and then they had to pull out because they had to go fight fires. We chased 3 days. For theirs, it was $468, and that was kind of standard rate for their camping cost. We're open to the Forest Service for when we're closed during the winter to make up some of our costs if they can't get into their facilities because of snow. Weather. These are the prices, and this is what we did do in 2016. The main support building, we leased that out to them, or rent them out by the month.
So these guys were marking timber for timber sales. That's what they were doing. They had a crew of them, and they worked all winter doing that. And they just couldn't get in and out of cover at all. So they stayed there, and they were able to transport themselves back and forth to where they were working all right in that location.
And this is back for the fire watch program. And that would fall under Mr. Robinson. It went in place, and that would include our equipment, our water resources, staging areas. It's actually put down on paper so that we do know what we have available to us. And our neighbors. So.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Do you still have consignment sales? And is there, what, if you do, do you have a contract for that?
Oh, on
the parts?
Parts. We're billing that monthly, and that's something I need to figure that out, how to do that exactly. I talked to Sandy, she's gone this week. I talked to her last week. We talked about it, if we could just do this as a monthly, pay him the parts monthly.
Who owns the owns the inventory?
That would be Hetner Auto Parts.
Hetner Auto Parts.
Right. Okay.
And is there a contract or is that something?
Not really. It's we have an express a spreadsheet, and then when something's sold, that we make it. He makes a bill out monthly. We pay that to him. Do you think we need something for different then?
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I think
we'll
we
talk.
Should look at it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's what we need to. I have what I have is a few racks of parts. That Hepner is not on here.
Okay.
He put some parts up there for a spare tire, not the tire, but like a tube and some fuses, some goggles, a few things, so that when people are up there, they don't have to run to Hepner to get these parts. I thought it would be a good thing to do for our guests, and with everything going to contract, I don't know if it's going to be.
So he just supplies the inventory, and if it's gone when he comes up, reimburse him.
We reimburse him, and we make.
We get
20% or 10%, okay. You know, most times.
I just like to understand it if we're still doing it because we don't own the inventory, but they know what the transactions.
Right, and this we do keep track of that on receipts, you know, because any money transferred. Anywhere, or bought, sold is received. So, I will take the heat. I'm bad on that one, I suppose. I was looking more at our guests, the amenities, to keep them there.
Yeah. Well, it's important if you have a flat tire up there and you're planning on the first day of a 3-day weekend, you're
right.
You're pretty sad.
And before you'd go help them out, pull them out of your supplies. See what I'm saying? Maybe. Put a patch here, and this way they could buy their own. Maybe I'm overstepping myself on that, I don't know.
Well, I see it as a service like you do. It's similar to providing meals. It's just understanding how it works.
Right. And Kate, actually the way we're doing now is a monthly, at the end of the month, okay, we sold this, and we have that cost, and we just...
Well, I think the simpler solution to that is you need to make that sheet available of what you'd sold. And
correct. And it's not on here. I didn't think about it.
I've seen it. Sandy's idea was just to purchase the inventory, or purchase the inventory and sell it.
That might be the way to do it.
He wants to put it out there on consignment.
I was going to say, then, like you said, then it puts you back in that business.
That's exactly right.
You're out of the business.
All we wanted to do.
Yeah, that's what keeps the local vendor happy, that he gets to make a sale of some type and it doesn't cost us anything. We actually get a little revenue off of it. So
And you're right, Katie. It needs to be in writing.
Yeah, and it's more of, like you said, it's more of a convenience to the guests up at the park to have those items that would normally carry with them that they either forgot or got broken while they're up there.
That'd be a good just discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. On my list.
I'm wondering, David.
Huh?
Where are you going with
this? I don't know. I really don't know. Grants?
Or
we go to grants. There's a, and I did not number these, so I apologize.
I'm just glad to have it, it's great.
It's actually we can start with the RVV allocation. That is, grants right here. Right back one. Yeah. You didn't get one.
I didn't.
I put the book together. Can you tell? Okay. These are county fee RV fee allocations that we get each year. It's based upon the RV sales tax in Oregon, and it goes to counties. So that's a kind of a big number, and that really did helps out. And it's broke out per campground, per how many sites you have, what kind of sites you have, as far as their water to full hookups. And this year, our project is $136,600 from state RV taxes, which is a pretty good chunk of change.
Well, that's registration fees and some fuel.
Does fuel come out of this? I didn't know fuel came out of this.
Some fuel goes in this.
Okay. And if you go across that line, it'll tell you how many campsites, and the percent. So that's one of the places we kind of we get some revenue. The next page is our grants, and this is a history of all our grants.
So if, when you're looking through this, if you see anything in black, that's money we got. If you see anything in green, that's what we actually got instead of the five. Like there's one line down here, it's in black, it's $599, but actually we ended up getting $479.65.
Yeah, because the big numbers are what was put in for. They do a lot of adjusting as you might get that whole grant award, you might get partial adjusted depending on what monies are available. And they're all marked, the ones that are failed attempt, they're marked.
So bottom line, we ended up out of all these grants, $7,686,764. We would have had $9,532, but with some of them being scaled down, that brought it to the $768,664. So that's a pretty good chunk of change that's come into the county over the years, just off of grant revenues. And the match, truthfully, the match numbers on all of these grants, there's no hard cash match in these. It's all in-kind trade. Park does the work. They furnish the money.
And you'll find, like, on the next one is the Sheriff's Office grants. And then EMS grants. Those matches for what I know from the EMS grants and stuff there, because that's a lot of that is labor cost, volunteer time. When I say labor cost, that's the volunteer labor that goes into it. Any of our own equipment to do this.
Yeah, so law enforcement, the sheriff's office got almost $802,000 over the years out of that program. The medical grants, what, $84,000?
Yeah.
Are those separate from the grant history?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Those are separate.
They're broke down. That's broke down between parks, sheriff's department, and medical. So to get a total, you have to add all them all together.
The ATV program is separated in the law enforcement, operations and maintenance, and so law enforcement grants are always separate from all our other funding. But it's bottom pickups and four-wheelers and some important stuff that they have to use.
And those things actually go through the sheriff's budget?
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff's office grant?
Yeah, that's for the sheriff's grant money. And EMS, so you know, all the EMS, any functions that go through the park up there goes through the health district.
Through the health district, the medical?
Right. All the equipment that is up there at the OHV park for medical, actually, with the way the grant's written, belongs to the health district.
So when it says county match on the medical grants, is that actually the health district match, or that's the county?
It's our time. it's our EMS, our medics volunteer time and equipment. It's actually not hospital money.
It's Model County employee time and equipment.
So what?
EMS, they're volunteers. They're under the health district, not Model County.
So an interesting thing is there's a formula for volunteer labor. And so if those folks are up there volunteering as EMSs, there's a...
Points of Life Foundation, right?
Yeah, per hour cost value to that. So they fill out a form, sign it, put their hours in, and then that total amount of time they put in, which could be $400 worth in a weekend, is all counted towards match, soft match. Same thing with all these grants. All the volunteers do those forms, and each of them have a cash value attached to them. And so you amass those over time and use them for match against grants. Grants, that can be a lot of money.
And every level is a different price as far as your level. Same thing is on the ground of county grants. As I had a mason that volunteered, he was worth a lot of money an hour, I mean, compared to general labor.
So if I could add, Greg, I think the confusion is coming on those medical grants page. It says county match.
It is.
It probably should say health district match.
Yes, or just match.
Yeah.
Something, because it is
health district match.
It's not the county putting money, people, or anything into that one. That's all health
right. EMS, again, I'll give you a little quick history. EMS is separate from the parks as far as funding. The parks does not fund any of the EMS stuff. It's a service that we all got together, the medics thought was needed, and that's where it stemmed from. So, is that clear as mud, or did I make it worse?
So those people are volunteering to the health district, not to the county, correct?
But they have a room up there in the health district supplies and whatnot.
Correct, okay. Correct. Yeah, and I guess that's really kind of a... We do have a room.
Does the health district supply all the supplies in that room?
That's our poker room money.
So we actually supplies.
The medical room.
Yeah, that's our poker room, is what actually supplies that. So I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
right.
No, the EMS system up there buys their own supplies.
Via OHG Park fundraiser.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that EMT program has done a lot of things outside of the park. I mean, it's been really, there's been car wrecks, there's been, you know, accidents on four-wheelers out in the forest or someplace. And there's a place for them to go get medical attention. And in a couple of cases, there's been the need for the helicopter to fly them to Bend or the Tri-Cities.
And that's on the last page. I actually went through 13 years of medical records here last night at the OHV Park. We do keep track. We have stats of all the runs up there. That's the last page. But
okay, yeah. I see that. I was going to ask if you had a feel for that, but you have more than a feel for it.
Yeah, I signed up for the sheets. But that is off because... There's two more that I missed. Yes.
What's going on?
Two more. It was transported by air. Okay. So, and that's actually a good deal because of the training that we've done up the park. You'll see a significant decrease in the treatment, EMS treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a significant decrease.
It's huge.
So State Park started a really concentrated program of safety training and youth being sized to the size machine they rode. And we built a training facility, got people on board to do the work and do the training. And it shows in our numbers, plain as day, the kids learning to ride correctly over that period of time, more than helping us doing the right thing, all of a sudden, your accident rates just went down. And that's cool. I mean, that worked, and it worked well. It's obvious.
Yeah, and these numbers show it. But now some of these numbers, we do respond from Hardman. We go to Hardman if we know something's going on. And then the Grand County on Long Highway. So some of that is going to be a little bit off. It's not much, though, that if you get a car wreck, you can respond.
What's the last two columns stand for?
Last two. Oh, I'm sorry. The last one is private vehicle. That they actually took their own vehicle down. And the other is search and rescue. We get people lost. I know. I was told put search and rescue. So that's our EMS stats on that. I think you've seen some of these, the charts before. That's just the next one after our grants.
One last question on the match item. So okay. That's the total grants
on
were 7.6, and the sheriff's is almost another million. But then the county match on is 2.4 and round off 2.4 plus another 290. So there's about 2.7 total in county match since 2002.
Yes, that's
2002.
Right. That's we pulled all the grants that we had that I had available to me.
So you can match a county, an RTD grant against a county opportunity grant. So there's so many ways that match works, but yet you have a total number of dollars, comparative dollars. And it's a lot of different things. It isn't hard cash money.
No, it's... In first, right, without getting really, is if we got a good one, I know that there was a, for that little training building out there, we got a grant that was for $24,000 to build this training building. Well, it brought it up because we got a grant to build the training area for $7,000 or whatever. That actually made match for the other one. So they gave me this money to make match for another grant. As far as hard dollars that we put out, that's not really...
But that extra grant would have gone into the grant total.
Absolutely, it did.
It does. So it
nets
itself out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that value went towards another grant.
Well, and time and use of equipment is still contribution. It's,
yeah. Yes.
Whether it's soft or hard, it's still equipment use.
Right.
And it's still an amazing amount of money coming in. So I commend you on that.
That's probably all the fuel and equipment's bought off of the ATV operations and maintenance grant. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It does.
And it's just the way it is. It's the way the system works. And
that's just always a question, and it's hard to field the question. Because the numbers are black and white. I understand what you're saying, but... You also can't say there's never equipment or people up there, and people don't want to hear that because that's not the black and white of it, if that makes any sense. I mean, this number's, it's a real number.
You're right, right. But I was with you, Jason, the people that equipment aren't there.
There are Morrow County people and equipment working up there that go into this number. That's real.
Morrow County Parks people.
That's the
so
difference.
So they're self-sufficient.
They don't take any general dollars.
There's no general dollars going in. That's just it. There's no general dollars going into that. It's all
there's
parks
no general,
dollars.
There should not be any general fund in kind dollars going in there.
Correct.
All come
correct.
Parks.
No.
That makes sense?
No.
So if somebody tells you that we're spending tax dollars on parks,
They're not informed at all.
Okay, but I'm looking at a county match of $2.4 million. That doesn't tell me that.
So the county match could be volunteer labor from non-county employees?
Correct.
It could be labor from county parks employees?
Correct.
That are paid for out of county parks budget, not out of general fund? But it doesn't, none of the like public works people are up there, and those dollars that come out of either road funds or any other public fund stuff, that's not in there. This is.
So our property tax revenues that when people express concern about going to the parks stays in that general fund. And parks is a special revenue fund separate from the general fund. So it should remain self-contained, and the in-kind should be coming from that special revenue fund to parks. How can we say if someone's ever been up there that was outside of parks, that's probably where they're concerned.
Okay, and that's if I, there's something that I need that I don't have, a specialized piece of equipment or a specialized person, okay? Yeah, it's billed through the parks. So the parks pays, I guess, road department or that piece of equipment that I need. Parks rents that person or piece of equipment. So it does not come out of general fund.
So for example, Public Works or Road will have internal billing to the parks if they supply some.
I need a truck, and I don't have a truck up there. I coordinate with Matt Burke. I need this for 2 days. Fine. We write it down on all of our time cards, all of ours. It goes into, and park, Public Works actually bills parks for that equipment.
Yeah, if you use a truck for 2 hours, you can pay for 2 hours.
I know.
Matt's the labor rate.
And I pay for an operator, and I'm running it. Matt gets me.
No, but that's the way it works.
Absolutely. No. But that way parks does. And I did put these, and I can leave these for you if you want to.
Well, you shouldn't be so diversified, Greg. You're an EMT, you're an operator, you're the parks manager. Wear many hats.
These? Okay. These we put together, and those, Bert, I don't want you to correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I a little.
Never bothers me.
One, we did a kind of a switch in the parks. We put all three parks under one umbrella, okay? So that Tony doesn't have to take care of Cutsforth or Anson Wright, and it's not running out. When we did that, that stopped all money coming out of general fund to all parks.
So, up until 2014?
Yes.
General maintenance took care of Anson Wright, and they had all through history, and Cutsforth. And that's just the way it was. So, because of personnel numbers, we didn't have enough people in general maintenance. I mean, basically, there was Tony, and he was trying to take care of all the buildings and the lawns and the parks. And so we sat back and we just relooked at things and thought, what if we just took all three of these parks and put them in a parks department? And we hired somebody to just do that work. And we took Tony out of that and moved him down here so he could maintain his stuff. What the ultimate effect of that was, the driving reason we could do it was because the OHV park exists and there was enough facility and equipment to manage taking care of those through that shop and that system. With adding a person to see to it that happened. And so when we did that, pulled those out, now all the money that was being spent out of general fund at Cutsforth and Anson Wright went away. All the money that was being spent on parks out of general fund went away. So now parks are really focused on being critical of the money we spend and where we spend it, and building the parks up, making them produce more and more self-sufficient. It's really, really important because they're taking care of themselves. So what that OHV park created ultimately for the taxpayers of Morrow County was less money coming out of general fund than had in the past, which is quite a bit of money. For a period of time, when we first got the park going, the OHV park going, the general maintenance guy did work up there, but every hour he put in went back through accounting and was paid for out of the OHV general maintenance budget.
Not the other two, just the OHV park.
So like the new building at Cutsworth Park, that went through the parks that Rob built? Through the parks maintenance budget?
Actually, it was a grant.
Grant, thank you.
So what's the time spread? So from January of 2003 to April of 2014, Anson Wright Park, there was $47,930.57 out of general fund that was paid to the general maintenance person and a sundry of the things that went along with it.
Well, and this?
That one's, which one?
This is Cutsworth.
Same date range.
Same date.
So Cutsworth was $76,079. So
I'll leave these with you, but as
so I guess what I'm saying, yeah, we can look at those. But right there is a net savings to the county general fund just because the OHV park is able to be a catalyst to make a parks department. And that gets missed sometimes when people don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something I didn't tell you earlier on these. Uh-oh. Is your employees back then, by going through all these, has changed since then, did not write down their equipment. Mm-hmm. So their equipment cost is not in this. You know, pickup rates, trucks, whatever they used.
So we've gotten better as time went on.
Absolutely. That's kind of a...
But so for now, if we have a constituent or just interested person that wants to know how county parks works, we can tell them that none of their tax dollars go to county parks. It either all comes from grant money or revenues received by the parks themselves. And that's correct. An accurate statement, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And here, I mean, the documentation is here. I hope you have enough in here to make you feel good about it. If not, let me know. We'll dig whatever we need out. Because like I say, I want to look good.
Well, I saw this piece of equipment up there. You're billing for that piece of equipment.
Yeah, but now I had somebody says, why is that greater park at the OHV park 2 weeks ago? I says, because that's where he's parking it. He's on county roads.
Yeah.
So that's the things that kind of bite you a little bit sometimes. It's still county property. I mean, we can still park.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not charging Public Works for
parking. No.
Yet.
Yet.
Greg hasn't thought about it. Thanks, Tom.
It works both ways.
Yeah,
because I have to have that now. But it's been direct expenses because it doesn't factor in overhead of admin or anything.
Right,
it's,
yeah.
It's self-sufficient on the direct expenses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And if Kate's not billing parks.
Yes.
No, please don't. Cage. But I want to see if the grants, if we don't receive the grants, then I'm out of job, and my guys are out of job. So if those funds don't come in, we don't work. I mean, that's, county, as far as, let's see, how do I say that? County monies, general fund monies, doesn't support our wages, so we have to make it work. I hope I'm answering your questions.
Very, very awesome. Yes, thank you. Perfectly.
You can see the growth in the OHV park. You
go through that.
No.
I never could understand them.
These are tough to read. It's growth, and some of this falls back into is your fuel price. You know, year were high, so your parks are going to be down. Now people are going to camp. But 2015-16, we are doing big jumps. And some Wright Park is coming back, taking a big jump back a little bit. I'm hoping that's, I got big plans for that park the next few years to try to promote that little guy. And Cuts Fork, yeah, he's my black horse. And Cuts Fork is coming up. So our growth is growing. No, thank you. You really want to go through all the numbers exactly. They're there in front of us. Breaks it down pretty good. Camping fees, cabin rentals, Smoke County, SME, 4-H buildings. And then the last one's an overall of Moore County Parks growth.
I look at Cutsworth Park is just watching it over the last 10 years. We've made such a difference in that park that it's incredible. I mean, there's a lot of people who love that park. They come there just for a weekend out of the Tri-Cities to hang out, and they keep adding campsites and they keep filling up, but we're kind of running out of room to expand and fill new campsites. So. Yeah, it's doing well.
That building was a big need too. It really was.
And everybody needs to go see the new restroom.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Welcome center.
It does look really nice.
Did you go up to see it?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
It's
those juniper posts. You see them since they got them in?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a little bit.
I'm going to go up there in August with the little vendor hat on and charge people to see it.
Yeah. We should put a toll on the restroom post.
There you go.
I was at a national park one time and they had a toll on the restrooms and I was just disgusted. First time I went to Grand Canyon National Park, they had to put a quarter in the slot to use the toilet. And I was just disgusted.
Okay, come up. I'll loan you my binoculars, okay? Yeah. Give me the pickup.
So when we're talking about Cutsworth Park, I would be remiss to not ask. There's a snowmobile population, a lot of it's county, but it's growing. It's
absolutely
a lot of other areas are decreasing the ability to use, and so this area is growing. Mm-hmm. And I can think of two weekends, and I'm definitely a snowmobiler, so mm-hmm. It affects me. But
scars to prove it.
I have scars to prove it. Definitely, I walk funny now. But for example, their own poker run, I saw two people from Hermiston turn around and leave because there's nowhere to park. How can we, or are we trying to address that population? Okay. Because it's a growing population. I know it's a thorn in Burke's side, but...
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Let me
parking up there is okay. A real issue.
Okay. And I want to say something. In my defense, a little bit, and I'm going to slam the snowmobile guys, because he worked for the county, and should have known better.
Okay.
The night before, he says, what are we going to do with parking?
The night before.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know, so actually I did. I took.
You did, and you did a good job.
I took our Suico, our Skidster down, and plowed that. But if I had known in advance, I gotta have some reminders. Like there's a lot going on.
Sure.
If you got a special event going on, I keep track of mine. So if they got a special event, they can help me keep track of it too. And if they need that extra.
I feel like it's a growing situation, though, and we are just going to have to start addressing it as parks people in general, not just events, because it's turning into an every weekend, and as toll gate gets less rideable, we're seeing more traffic. I think the traffic is coming, and it's something that we need to start looking at. Are there grants? Are there ways to make that function? That we can use that parking year. Snowmobile year round.
And we do, and you know, and of course, now this year there was a lot of snow. There was a lot more than normal.
Absolutely.
And the loop to the lake is plowed, okay? But that doesn't allow a lot of extra parking by plowing around. The problem, the issue with that is I've got to take a piece of equipment over. I don't mind doing that. It's parks. It's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Making that, allowing that for the room to make it user friendly for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta have a place to go with it. I gotta have, I do have, it's not mine. Cost me money again. I rent snow, my snow blower from him goes on the front skid steer. And that's what we, I go out, clean that parking lot out and stuff. Now, if I have that, if that's something we want to look at for the future use of lost snow, I have a place I can blow that snow out of there instead of pushing it. By pushing it, did you see what my grass looks like a little bit? It tore it up pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, by blowing it out, by removing it that way, that might be an option to give you more parking and both sides, in the grass and over towards the creek.
I don't want to open up
the main park too bad unless we have somebody there. As far as the facilities?
Oh, no, no, yeah, absolutely, no. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying, is it on our radar as so parks, that that's becoming a bigger need. And this year there was a lot of snow, it was a little different, but it's a growing need, and we are gonna have to address it in some fashion.
So weren't you at our meeting last fall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we meet once or twice a year, and we've discussed this, and I mean, everybody's tried to figure out ways to make more parking happen. The reality is, it just takes more space somewhere.
Right.
We haven't solved that problem. We haven't solved the problem if the road was open to the top of the hill. There's not enough space up there either. You know, but everybody is working on it, and we all think about it. You know, and we stepped up, Melissa, 5 years ago or more and said, hey, we will take care of those parking lots for the snowmobilers. We will do that, no problem. And we have. Reality is Parks is taking care of the parking lots pretty much, but that's okay. We're willing to do that. No, because it is. It's recreation. It brings people. It's a good deal. I don't know how we solve the more space thing. I really don't.
The park was really helpful, and it is economic development for South County. Absolutely. It's a lot. That's a lot of dollars coming through
South County
and growing. So
it's the same.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That has to fall into the same issue as the OHP park.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just wish I had the room at there that I had at the OHP park for parking. Because it is. That's a good question.
And you made a huge dent by opening up the park for parking. That was, I mean, Karen, you were up there that weekend too, I think.
And I thought Greg and his crew did an awesome job.
I did too.
And, you know, sure, we could do things better, but I do have
If I had a little more.
I have to say you did a wonderful job.
Agreed.
But if I had a little more time, maybe I could have opened up a little more. Because that's a lot of snow to push. Once you get it to a spot, you're...
Well, I guess that's why I'm questioning is if it's something that we need to do throughout the year and not try to just do it all at once. So I'm just, if there's grants, if there's, you know, we do all these things at OHB, and maybe if there's some of that kind of same stuff that we could do in the winter, just food for thought.
We've tried to get grants through, what's a snowmobile?
I know, it's...
But it just seems like they never can make it through that process. You know, the snow park monies and...
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. Thank you. I got us off topic.
This one here is more of a demographics. Okay? Where people are coming to our parks. And I apologize. I've jumped all over this book.
This is fine.
You beat.
I did. And there's actually two. Different demographics, and Jared, you might, the last one is the reason is there's two different colors. This is what we've had up to June. This is just, gives you a green. Yeah, the green gives you where people are coming from to visit the parks. Okay. And these are all pulled off of our reservation system. Now, is that orange?
Are these booked through the summer, that's already booked through the summer now?
These are already booked. So, there's quite a few different places we can get them.
Well,
with the solar eclipse is why there's a different color.
Okay.
Because that is That's going to change my demographic a lot. It's kind of an unfair change. I mean, so we really wanted to highlight that to show you the difference between the two. I mean, Germany, Hamburg, Germany.
That's what I was looking for.
That's right. It's the fourth one down on the end. Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Pennsylvania, New York.
Florida.
Yeah.
Montana.
Texas.
We're going to get Texas.
Arizona. I mean, it just goes on. It's like, so, it'll be a fun weekend,
that's
guys. Why don't you come out and play?
We can get this.
I was all ready to go, but now that I know I'm going to see 90% of the same thing by sitting in my backyard.
You might not.
Choice is made, isn't it?
It's kind of going like going to Super Bowl or watch the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. So that's kind of demographic. I hope I've covered what you guys were wanting. And if I'm missing something, please let me know.
I like these zip code searches because they really work. I think they're neat because you get an idea of where all these folks are coming from. And it's surprising, you know, when you see somebody that's coming from Nevada up here just right forward, just out of Canada. I mean, that's a pretty long journey. Montana's not close, you know.
No.
Folks from Montana coming.
And you see that increase that you're seeing, a lot of that is midweek stuff. So,
yeah, that's changed.
One thing, I'll go over this. There's a lot of information here. The original steering committee people, the original parks committee people, the list of who's on that in here. Infrastructure in the years.
Is that your five-year plan?
That's next.
Next, sorry.
Yeah, and the five-year plan, those two are right before the five-year plan. I've got to get with that too because that's due and I'm really close to having that done. Mm-hmm.
So you have to design another one?
Yeah.
Well, no, about a year ago we had a county commission meeting at the park and Leanne and I both brought motorhomes up and spent a night or two there and there was another group parked in between where Leanne was and I was and happen to be old family friends of my wife's, and you know Mike Pitzer,
mm-hmm.
Greg's or Jeff's older brother.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm walking over to Leanne Dallas's for cocktail hour, and this guy, Donnie Russell, what are you doing up here? Jesus Christ, what are you doing up here? So just another stop
on the way. And I have invited everybody, and I would love to see you come up to the park. I'd love to take you to a tour. I'll give you a vehicle to go ride, whatever. I mean, to see what we have. And that's not just the OHP park. I mean, that's the biggest one to go ride, but take a tour of all the parks. And if there's things that you see that come up that we can change and make better, yeah, let me know.
Well, and these guys spoke highly of our park. They came up there several times a year. They, you know, retired now. They come up during the week, and they lived out in Pasco. And so I said, you know, doesn't cost much to stay here. The riding's great. And then you can go out and ride around for a couple hours. Have a few beers, take a nap, go out and ride around for a couple hours. Have a few beers, take a nap, do it all day.
Well, and that's one thing on our helicopter agreement. They did get that under, they got that through before my hike in Greece. So
that's okay.
They tried. They got me. It's okay. Like I said, a lot of this before that is history. There's actually our planning stuff in here and from planning. The use conditional use permits. This was good for me because I really had to dig deep for some of this stuff. But it was learning curve for me, so it was really a good thing for me to do.
That's great. Can you tell me a little bit, how's the Grant County thing work?
Grant County?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, there's an MOU in here.
Oh.
And that. So what it is, Bert, you want to go?
Yeah, it's right there.
The MOU for Grant County? It's actually, it's You were so instrumental in that big part of that work. Grant County, yeah.
It's a pretty simple agreement that they entrusted us to manage that property in Grant County in conjunction with the property where we had in the park for the same uses and operations, without really putting any time constraints on it. It's just a really simple agreement. You said it's in here, Greg?
Yeah, it's right here. It's on the land acquisition, then memorandum. Okay. So the first page is what we paid for land and the property was bought. Second is actually an MOU with Grant County and all the signed attachments.
Is there no expiration of the agreement?
I have no found one. I'm not a professional.
If one party has a problem with it, then have to sit down at the table. They were they were really good because they actually kicked in $1 million out of their own money to get that property bought. There was a timeline that was running out and the grant money wasn't coming and there was another buyer interested and they coughed up $1 million to make purchase happened, which they got back when the grant came through finally, but you know, they were pretty serious about it being a good thing. They looked at it as a regional thing. They were good, really good to work with.
And I think we covered before that, because I mean, the park does pay the taxes. Mm-hmm. To Moore County and Grant County. All the money that goes in and out, you saw those. So,
and there is a conservation easement in here, which just says that OHV property will be used for recreation and will be used for ATV recreation. And that was something the state wanted really bad, to feel comfortable that everything stayed like it was supposed to, since Morrow County was going to own that, they wanted to be sure they didn't just turn around and do something different with it. That's what it comes right down to. But that's okay. Just another step in the process.
Yeah, I can see that. They didn't want to give you a grant to build an OHV park or help buy the ground and turn around and sell the warehouse 2 years later.
Yeah, we just bought you 6,200 acres and go out there and, yeah, or subdivide it and sell it for dwellings or who knows what, you know, which they didn't know how honest we were here, I guess.
Well, if we got any questions or any issues that you feel that I'm not covering or answering on any of the three parks, that's kind of why you trust me to do what I'm doing. So don't be afraid. You guys got my cards. You're coming down.
So you're working closely with Carla already in moving this park forward in
yes,
zoning. And I feel like, especially with the restaurant, it's grown to a point of question that we make sure we're properly, the use is proper, and I know Carla said she's behind that, but are we actively working on that?
Yes, that is part of the subcommittee, you know, and it's covering all of this, and the Parks Committee. So both those committees are trying to move forward, get all this taken care of, so that it's upfront, open, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
I do have a land use I can't talk. Compatibility statement. Sorry about that. On the land in the kitchen, and it actually does say that 2012 development of the use of the area in the concession trailer was parked and developed this into a full-service kitchen. That's what this one says. So that would tell me that this is we're working under what we're supposed to be working under. Because this is an LUC. And you have that in your book, too. But yes, we are working for so that it is this, not guessing. It's going to be stamped crystal clear.
Perfect. Joe, do you think with your planning background that's a goal that's attainable?
I do. I think that there's been contact made with Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I think that they're supportive. So, I mean, I think that going through this process, you guys are putting together a master plan, right?
Correct, yeah.
I think it technically requires a statewide planning goal exception. We'll have to check on the details, but I think now is the time to do it, and I think that there's a lot of support there.
We're working that direction. Mm-hmm. Part of it is there's some money involved in this, too. We got waiting on a grant that helped fund part of the process. But we're working that direction, and the Parks Committee's working on it, except we kind of got hung up on, I don't know, bylaws things like that. For a little while we had to get through. But
yeah, I mean,
it's going that way.
Because it seems like these processes only get harder to get through.
Yeah, they do. And it takes so much. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of people and a lot of departments. I'm finding this out because this part of it, what we're talking about now, has been kind of a quick, hard learning curve. Get with it and pay attention, I guess. But it's moving forward. So.
Did you want to ask about the bids up there, or did you already talk to Greg about that separately?
Oh, the buildings. We visited that a couple times, and you'd ask on the cost of having whatever. Sir. This morning, I'm sure Commissioner Mr. Sorty be sitting down with you. We kind of put it back in his hands, and we said to revisit with you guys the whole process and the bids that you've currently got, and kind of determine if instead of going out for a bid, if one of those would work, if it's justified, etc. So I'm sure he's going to be getting together with you guys.
Yeah, we'll want to get together, the four of us, with Kate to look at our budget for this year, since we're into a new fiscal year, and just start talking.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Your quote's still good.
I called him. I got three of them said that, well, give me a call. We're getting down to the issue. And I literally called one guy, the low quote guy. He's, I'm going on vacation, but I got my phone. I deal with enough government. You're good. Your quote will be good for another 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we kicked it. So the administrator can just get with you guys and sign off, even the authorization, if it works and everything fits, to kind of expedite it a little bit and move it forward. So,
okay. Kind of where we're
at. Got some time when we're done here, Jerry?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything else, Commissioner?
It was meant to help you expedite it, not grab you buckle
over. Lock the door, Burke.
You don't have to do it. No, this is, again, thank you. It's refreshing to just be able to ask questions and get the answers, and it all makes sense and starts to come together. So,
and I hope I'm answering
one. Sincerely appreciate it.
I do. It's
I appreciate Kate.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think probably we need to follow up on that, the challenge that Kate presented with
the parks.
Yeah. Just to make sure everything's good. I have nothing for there.
Is there anything else for the afternoon?
I don't have anything.
Yes, we can adjourn.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Do you want these documents?
Sure. Thank you.
That's just kind of a rough
estimate. Taking a look at time, 3:53.
General fund.